You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Super Tuesday arrives. Really doesn't mean much for Rhode Island, but definitely Massachusetts. Even then, the match is really Trump's already set between the two of them. But let's play these piece.
The in 15 states, as Donald Trump certainly hopes to sweep Super Tuesday and close out this Republican primary. Trump's only remaining rival, Nikki Haley, making one last stand, telling voters the former president is a drag on the party.
The choice comes down to this. We can either have more of the same, or we can go in a new direction.
But polls show Trump with double-digit leads in most of the states voting today, and with just hours to spare, a rare unanimous decision from the U.S. Supreme Court, rejecting a Colorado decision to kick Trump off the ballot because of his actions on January 6th.
You cannot take somebody out of a race because an opponent would like to have it that way.
The court did not address the issue of whether Trump actually engaged in an insurrection, but declared that only Congress, not individual states like Colorado, can remove a candidate under the 14th Amendment, which says no one who has taken an oath to support the Constitution and then engaged in insurrection can hold public office.
I have great respect for the Supreme Court, and I want to just thank them for working so quickly and so diligently and so brilliantly.
With the court thrust into the middle of the presidential race, Justice Amy Coney Barrett, nominated by Trump, calling on the justices to turn the national temperature down, not up. To disqualify insurrectionist candidates, the court ruled Congress must first pass a law laying out how. But in a concurring opinion, the three liberal justices said that goes too far, insisting the decision could insulate the court itself and Trump from future controversy. Haley backing the decision, saying the public should decide, not elected officials.
Look, I'll defeat Donald Trump fair and square, but I want him on that ballot.
But the former South Carolina governor has largely failed to defeat Trump, and now his supporters calling for the party to rally behind the former president.
Why are you still in it, other than to deflect away from Trump?
But despite Trump's dominant lead, there are warning signs ahead with independents and moderates. Lisa Waldron in Texas says she's a lifelong Republican, but won't support Trump.
I would vote for that microphone as opposed to voting for President Trump.
Trump and Haley do not have any scheduled events today. Haley has always vowed to stay in the race through Super Tuesday, but she has not outlined her plans beyond that. And of course, even if she does pull off an upset in one or two states today, it would not be enough to stop Donald Trump. He has all the momentum, Robin.
Yeah, he does have all the momentum. I don't see where it goes beyond this. I think he then can kind of take his foot off the pedal a little bit, maybe raise some money. And what they have to now start doing is working on the independent voters. And I know, listen, there's no question he has support amongst all the a good majority of the Republicans. But where they need to work is they need to get some of those moderate Democrats, and then they need to get some of the independent voters. I also want to remind people or just point out that I think this election in the fall could actually, you could have a number of people on both sides just staying on the sidelines and not voting. And what I mean by that is I'm not convinced. I think there's a number of people that are not enthusiastic about voting for Biden on the Democrat side, and there are people that are not enthusiastic about running against President Trump, for President Trump, I should say, Republicans who are not going to go out and support him. So I think both suffer from that. I want to go to some of the coverage. They show the map, and this is from NBC. Steve Kornacki, I think, does a pretty decent job.
16 states in one territory. But okay, but it all boils down to a very hard road for Nikki Haley after tonight.
Yeah, two big problems for Haley. Let's just call up what's at stake today. In yellow, you're going to see these are all the states voting today. The problem for Haley, of course, is she hasn't won states yet. She won the District of Columbia, but that was very different. And you look at these states and you see two things. Number one, you see demographics. A lot of these states are conservative southern states. They don't have electorates that have been friendly to her so far. But the other big problem for her is the rules. We've seen before where she's got 43% in New Hampshire, 40% in South Carolina. She's been able to collect some delegates. Take a look at the biggest state on the map today, California. The rules, closed primary. No independents, no Democrats. Those have been Haley's bread and butter in this primary. Also, winner take all. If Trump gets a simple majority in California, he gets all 169 delegates. Haley getting 40% does nothing for her. And there are all sorts of states on the map today that are like this. So unless she's winning states and winning them outright, she's going to fall way behind.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. In many ways, many people are expecting the general election to begin in earnest as a practical matter tonight. And how is it shaping up?
Great question, Savannah. I mean, one of the big questions we're watching for is the 40% or so that Nikki Haley's been getting. Can Trump get that? The answer is no. His campaign acknowledges about 25% off the table. But what happens to that other 15% independent moderate voters? Can he win those in a general election? Or does that represent a real vulnerability for him? Anecdotally, I was just at a Haley event last week talking to some of her supporters, and I said, look, what if she doesn't win the nomination? Will you vote for Trump? Their answer was yes, Savannah. And those are the types of voters he needs if he wants to win swing states like Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina.
So it's really a slice of this Haley vote that potentially either Trump or Biden has got to pick up if they want to get over that 50% and win the election. This isn't exactly a rematch of 2020. The candidates are the same. The dynamics are not, Steve.
The polling, Savannah, is looking very different than it did 4 years ago. If you remember 4 years ago, in a major poll, Joe Biden never once trailed Donald Trump. Just in the past several days, four major national polls all put Donald Trump ahead of Joe Biden between 2 to 4 points. Our own NBC poll a few weeks ago put Trump ahead by five. And the biggest issue for Biden is this. The New York Times poll asked voters, you know, if you voted for Trump in 2020, are you still with him? 97% said yes. If you voted for Biden in 2020, are you still with him? Look at the slippage. Only 85% of Biden's 2020 coalition is with him. So there's the slippage. And that's why Donald Trump, who never led Biden in a single poll, now consistently leads by a couple points.
So he's got to bring back the faithful there in the next 9 months or so. All right, we shall.
I don't think he can. And I also think if you're a Nikki Haley voter, and it's not that many, but a percentage. I think it's split between either, I think half, maybe, I don't know what percentage, maybe half of them vote for President Trump. But I think, in fact, the other half would just end up not voting. That's how I see it. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvement, call them today for a free quote. You can also find them on Facebook, 401-323-9252. 323-9252, AJ, drywall, plasters, home improvement, frame to finish basements. What a difference it'll make in your basement. Acoustic ceilings. Look how beautiful your ceiling could be. New homes, additions. Also, commercial rehabs, painting, remodeling. Contact them today. It's a family-run business. AJ Drywall Plaster Home Improvements. Call for a free quote. What a difference they'll make in your home, your ceilings, floors, basements. 401-323-9252. What a difference. Beautiful walls and ceilings. 401-323-9252. You can also find them on Facebook. It's AJ Drywall Plaster and Home Improvements for your home or business. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. Well, if you remember the naked fat coach, basketball coach out of North Kingstown, now he's trying to get the criminal charges against him dismissed instead of going to trial. The judge is going to decide sometime next month. Someone, one of our media that have done a fantastic job on this, local press is Channel 12, the investigators, this scandal with this coach, Aaron Thomas, and the naked fat test, whether or not the case will move forward. Let's pick up the story with Channel 12.
With what happened at the hearing, Tim?
Lawyers for 56-year-old Aaron Thomas asked the judge to throw out the charges against him, but prosecutors urged the judge to allow this case to move toward trial.
Well within the statute of limitations.
Former North Kingstown High School basketball coach Aaron Thomas appearing in Washington County Superior Court Monday, more than a year and a half after he was charged with one count of child molestation and one count of second-degree sexual assault. Thomas is accused of getting students naked behind closed doors to conduct so-called fat tests.
And that's the state's evidence of sexual intent. Breathing heavily. And
defense attorney John McDonald argued the state failed to show Thomas conducted the tests for the purpose of sexual gratification, which is required to prove under the law.
The optics are not great. The judgment is clearly questionable, but criminal behavior, that's not there.
But prosecutors pushed back.
Aaron Thomas doesn't hold himself out to be a medical professional. Then why is he touching these kids? Why is he doing puberty tests? Why is he doing hernia tests?
Arguing experts have said getting students naked for these tests is completely unnecessary. And when he was first questioned by North Kingstown police, he lied.
He says no students were ever naked, right? What's his reason for lying about that, right? It's because he's trying to mask his intentions.
Superior Court Judge Melanie Thunberg told both sides she wants to read all 600 pages of the criminal complaint against Thomas before issuing a decision. That decision is expected sometime in mid-April. With the Target 12 investigators, Tim White, 12 News.
You know, that is really remarkable, and there's a lot to unpack there, but it would certainly seem as though this case against the naked fat coach, or naked fat test coach, I should say, sure seems like it's going to be moving forward. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Now, in regards to this, these naked fat tests, and the former North Kingstown coach who conducted them, now he wants, and they were arguing in court, the molestation sexual assault charges dismissed. Boston Globe has a good piece on this. Now, I just played the Channel 12 piece. So they're trying to argue that they should be dismissed, saying there's no evidence that he performed the test for sexual gratification or arousal. Thomas, very friendly with Dan York, once celebrated coach, conducted his self-designed version of, quote, fat testing on about, they're saying, 600 boys over his 28 years, basketball coach, North Kingstown. His lawyer, John McDonald, very strong attorney. Now, Assistant Attorney General Tim Healy countered, the court should make its determination on the charges based on the whole circumstances, and his actions show intent. Now, this is new information that he lied. The coach lied to North Kingstown police about the boys being naked during the fat test, Healy said. First time we're hearing that. He devised his own, quote, tests that allowed him to touch naked boys around their genitals, and even moved them out of his way so he could take, quote, measurements. And he continued his private tests with naked boys even after administrators told him to stop. Why is he touching these kids? Why is he doing puberty tests? Why is he doing fat tests? Why is he touching these young men? Healy said to the judge. So the judge will decide whether to grant the motion to dismiss the charges by April 15th. He pled not guilty at his arraignment and remains free on bail. Former students going back to the 1990s have told the Globe his testing began with the same question, are you shy or not shy? Those who were, quote, not shy were expected to strip naked before Thomas, alone in either a closet or a small room attached to his office, and allow him to conduct his, quote, fat tests. Thomas admitted moving the boy's genitals out of his way, so bizarre, so he could probe their groins, taking measurements and feeling the area with his fingers, all in the name of fat testing of the young athletes, McDonald said in a court filing to dismiss the criminal charges. The information Thomas gleaned from examining the naked boys alone in a closet at his private office was logged into an Excel spreadsheet that the coach said he used to determine there how athletic they were. He said there was no sexual talk, arousal, or sexual contact. Now, that's according to his lawyer. Now, John McDonald, the attorney for the coach, said, I grant to the court, the optics are not great. That's the understatement of the year. As Thomas sat listening in court, we have adult teacher alone with students. The judgment is clearly questionable. But criminal behavior, it's not there. That's what his attorneys are arguing. Is it questionable? Yes, but it's not there. So that's an interesting line that they're trying to go down, that that they're trying to, you know, admit, okay, it doesn't look good, but by basically saying that they just don't feel it is in fact criminal. But here's where it gets interesting, and there was new information that came out. This is the assistant attorney AG. He counted Thomas did appear to be sexually aroused in at least two instances, heavily breathing, examined one boy's groin, and having, quote, a noticeable bulge in his crouch after making a boy sit spread-eagled on the floor and pressing on the boy's scrotum and inner thigh until the boy got an erection. Thomas also conducted a puberty test and a hernia test on the naked boys, which again led the coach to touching the groins with his bare hands. The tests were not legitimate, Healy said, citing two experts, one a pediatrician at Hasbro, and another one an associate professor of exercise health science, University of Massachusetts. Healy pointed out Thomas had lied to North Kingstown police when he claimed the boys weren't naked. Faculty and coaches at North Kingstown also didn't know the boys were naked. I think that's very damning. Thomas continued to conduct his private fat test even after the school district obtained a body fat machine and administrators told him to stop. School committee quietly terminated him in early 2021. Now, he was fired in November of 2021. He's also facing a civil lawsuit filed by former athletes. The part about this that I think is just most damaging is, number one, he was lying, apparently, to both police and the school that they were naked. Why would you do that? Why would you lie about it? Number two, no way are these tests backed up. He came up with his own test. I think that's very, very damaging. And another damaging, there's several damaging things, I think, parts about this. But one is that he continued to do it even after they obtained this machine and they had told him to stop. But I think if you're sitting on a jury, I believe the most damaging part that would just stand out is if it was all above board and there was nothing wrong with it, why did he lie, supposedly, to police and the school administrators and didn't tell them that the boys were naked? You're listening to The John DePietro Show. A great meal, a great time is waiting for you at the Cohasset Inn, a Rhode Island tradition since 1977, 226 Cohasset Avenue, West Warwick. They have a large dining room, perfect, maybe a group, maybe a collation, lunch. The Cohasset Inn, getting a big group together, or maybe just you alone, or a date. 226 Cohasset Avenue, West Warwick. Great staff, terrific food. They're always working on the menu. And they also have a nice lounge as well. You have the market at Cohasset right there. They're open 7 days a week. I'll see you for a great meal. Make it the Cohasset Inn. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. Michelle Obama. Oh, my goodness. The number of people that keep writing. Oh, look out. Here she comes. Oh, they're lining it up for her. Michelle Obama finally breaks her silence. And she has the former First Lady ruled herself out as a presidential candidate, putting to bed speculation she's going to jump in at the last minute and give Democrats an alternative to aging Joe Biden. As former First Lady Michelle Obama has expressed several times over the years, she will not be running for president, Crystal Carson told NBC News. She supports President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Now, I recognize some people, this is still not going to be enough for them. But let me go through it. A recent Rasmussen survey found nearly 50% of Democrats support replacing Biden at the top of the ticket. And of the more Democrats would like to see Michelle Obama, 20%, then Kamala Harris, 15%. But Michelle Obama, 60 years old, has said multiple times she is not interested in running for office, but has admitted she's terrified of the outcome of this year's election. What's going to happen in this next election? I'm terrified what could possibly happen. Politics is hard, she said. People get into it. In 2022, she said she detests questions about running for president. And I mentioned there's still, Asked by CNN whether Obama was an option, Jill Biden laughed and said, you know, I'd love it if she'd agree to it, but, you know, I think she's had it with politics. Two sources say Obama wasn't happy with that answer. One, Biden had a different one on hand, didn't close the door if she were asked the question again. But the fact of the matter is, I don't understand. I just mentioned yesterday this person for the New York Post. Don't rule out Michelle Obama. I don't understand. I've even explained that there's bad blood, that the Bidens were not thrilled that they had to step aside for Hillary Clinton. All of this talk, former President Barack Obama said he's all in for President Joe Biden. So Michelle Obama's office said she will not be running. It was NBC News that broke it. So Democrats are very, very nervous. And then because of, you know, how poorly President Biden is doing. So many then started to wonder what, when he said he's all in, whether or not, is he saying he's all in on someone else's campaign? But in a statement to NBC News, she said, I want to make it very clear, it's not running for office. She will not be running. She supports Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Sources familiar with the discussion say she intends to assist the Biden campaign this fall, as she did 4 years ago. But as in 2020, her engagement is likely to be fairly limited compared to that of her husband. You know, so what does that mean? It means in October, maybe she makes an appearance at some battleground state for a Saturday afternoon or something. But that's about it. I'm not saying that there aren't people that wouldn't want her to run, but I see nothing. And you watch, even though she's saying, I'm not running, there were people that just keep these conspiracies going. And they're going to continue to say, you watch. Or either that or try to say, and you believe her. An aide to Obama pointed to her discussion last year with Oprah, reflecting on her thinking why she's most likely never appear on a ballot herself. Politics is hard. And the people get you into it, you've got to want it. Got to be in your soul. It's so important. It's not in my soul. She also said she detests questions about running for president. That seems pretty clear to me. Now, I recognize, despite this, some people will continue because they're, you know why? Because they're so vested in it. As I mentioned, there was a piece in the New York Post, which I thought was preposterous. And what I have noticed is the people that are writing about this, they leave out certain dynamics of the story, and as I've mentioned, I didn't know it at the time, but now I'm looking at right now. I thought they said she claims she's not running for president. No, she's clarifying. Now I'm looking at Newsmax. This is not holding up well. Amid poll numbers showing former President Trump leading President Joe Biden, many Democrats have considered First Lady Michelle Obama to be a possible alternative. What is wrong with these people? And I don't understand. And especially, there's even Roger Stone putting it out. Why is Newsmax? Why are these people doing this? And I did see, as I mentioned, the New York Post story of why people were putting that. I also want to point out, it wasn't really a story. It was more of just an opinion piece. And what I've noticed is they leave out interviews where she has said that she has no interest in running. And as I have, and I know there's someone listening right now that will say, well, she may not have a choice. They may go to her. Who's they? They may go to her and tell her she's got to run and she's got to do it. And I just don't know who these people are thinking or referring to. You go back to 2016 that apparently Joe Biden, the vice president, he thought of running in 2016 and felt that he was pushed aside because President Obama, at the time leaving office, made it very clear that Hillary was the anointed one. So now I'm going back to this month. David Axelrod says Michelle Obama will not replace Biden on the Democrat ticket. And there are people. Now I'm seeing this person. It is the New York Post that's been, who's been fueling it. I'm looking at a Fox News story, January 18th. Michelle Obama could sneak her way into the race, New York Post columnist warns. So you have some people that are just, they're obviously vested in this. And I just don't understand why you go down. Here's another story. Michelle Obama's plot revealed. Source buzz, Michelle Obama silently prepping for a presidential run. I don't know who this guy is. Michelle's leaked plan.
Enter Michelle Obama, a name synonymous with the party's legacy. She's been quietly plotting her path to the presidency, meeting with powerful figures behind closed doors.
This is all made up. Who is this person? Next News Network. 30,000 followers. All made up. Nope, she's not. Here's the New York Post. Don't count her out. Don't count her out. She could sneak her way in. Oh, it was Cindy Adams saying that. Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show. Propane Plus. Call them today. Heating and cooling in Rhode Island, 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359 for Propane Plus. Three generations you can always depend on Propane Plus for all your heating and cooling. Call them today, 401-885-4209. Three generations, they're available 24/7 for service and delivery, and they're going to serve you for a very long time. They have a great user-friendly website. You just log on at propaneplus.com, and then you type in your zip code, residential, commercial, Propane Plus, heating and cooling, always there for you. Give them a call today in Rhode Island, 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359. The Johnson family, three generations, heating and cooling. You can always depend on Propane Plus. It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland, diagonally across from Davenport Restaurant. Stop in and see Marie, that historic white church. Shop local, inside, all quality products, vitamins, herbal remedies, trusted companies. They understand quality, integrity. It's My Health. It's all about your health. Local products, ICE, honey, maple syrup, beef fresh gum. You know, they carry over 250 bulk herbs, teas, and spices that can be purchased by the ounce plus box herbs and teas, hemp and CBD products, and much more natural skincare products. Stop in and see Marie at It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland. It's all about health for you, for your family. There's vitamins for children, all different types of teas, all different types of spices. Boy, what a difference it'll make. Shop local. Stop in and see the Queen of Health. It's Marie at It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland, diagonally across from Davenport Restaurant, right in that historic white church. It's all about health. It's all about your health at It's My Health. Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show weekdays. We start at 11. We go until 2. It's AM 1380, 99.9 FM. You can always listen online at the website, DePietro.com. It's time for our segment, Politics This Week. Joining us, he is the managing editor for AnchorRising.com. It is Justin Katz. Justin, I thought we'd just start off with the latest, and I want to hear your thoughts on this ongoing saga with the bridge. You know, it's interesting. I think a lot of people have almost just kind of adapted to it. Governor McKee, now they're just kind of going through the motions, saying that you know, we'll find out. Let's see what the reports say. And there's a couple different elements of this, and then even Governor McKee saying he talked to President Biden about the bridge, which I can't envision that you're in Washington and you're walking with him and he suddenly, I mean, which is everything he has going on, and it's not even a battleground state. But let's start off the latest, your thoughts on this Washington bridge fiasco.
Well, I love the Biden thing because it's, you know, anybody who happens to be near him could say whatever. Yeah, I talked to Joe about that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Joe probably won't remember and who's to contradict you anyway. And what's he going to do? You know, the thing that there's so much about this bridge saga. I mean, the latest news is what they're going to redraw the lines so that there are three lanes in either direction. And some of the things that jump out at me about that are they're saying 8 weeks to draw lines. It boggles my mind. And also the idea that, I mean, from what I'm reading, they say it'll increase the flow by 50%, but not really, because one direction is already three lanes in that area. So you're cutting that off. And plus, when you make the lanes really narrow, and they're going to set the speed limit at 40, and then they're going to have tow trucks and police on hand. How expensive is this going to be? And is it worth
That's
it?
Right.
I mean, it's almost just sounds like we're just trying to do something. But what I noticed they're not trying to do, or maybe I've just missed it, is it seems like something like this that is so catastrophic for so many people. And you've talked about it. I know we've discussed it about businesses in the area not being able to bring in customers and being really devastated by this. You've got that. You've got emergency vehicles. I'm not hearing a whole lot about that sort of thing. Like, what right. do you? This is going to take years. If it takes you 8 weeks to redraw lines, and if we're still putzing around talking about, oh, let's wait for the report, and who knows what we have to do, we're talking years. I mean, who knows if this bridge will ever be rebuilt in Rhode Island? The state might end before the bridge is built. So in that circumstance, you need to adapt. You know, what are the plans to deal with this problem? There's got to be something, but you hear almost nothing about it. You hear about an advertising campaign, all that. Well, what are you doing about this single biggest issue facing Rhode Island at the moment? I'm just not hearing a whole lot.
I'm also curious your thoughts. I agree with you, Justin. And businesses right now, it is even like I admit it's an image thing where if someone were to say, let's, you know, meet someone in East Providence, your first natural reaction now is like, oh, forget that with the bridge traffic. I'm not getting caught in that. But I noticed the media didn't pick up on something, and that is the Cranston Mayor Ken Hopkins announced the city's begun its planned inspection of Cranston-owned bridges. This is what I think is lacking from that is, and it's not being addressed, is I don't think McKee understands that people, entire faith in our road structure has now taken a hit. I think, you know, the mayor of Cranston in the past, I don't even think that would have been a press release. Now it's actually news coverage that someone's going to inspect their bridges.
Yeah, well, you know, it made me think, because he's a Republican, it made me think there's an opportunity here for some Republicans to maybe get some money together and hire an inspector and do their own investigation of the bridges, because I certainly don't have any trust in DOT, right? I mean, you got Alviti out there saying, oh, we're doing excellent, except for this. Everything is great. You know, okay, well, let's check that. You know, let's do some inspections. What else could, I mean, if you're looking for a way to spend some kind of campaign money, that would be a way to show a bit of you know, gumption and to pull together a counter narrative that really puts the spotlight where it needs to be. And who knows what you'll find if you have bridge inspectors, and of course they've got to be credible. They can't, you know, just be thinly veiled, you know, political types. But if you've got bridge inspectors going out there and saying, no, as bad as Rhode Island's reports are, they're not nearly bad enough. You've got a bunch of bridges about to go. That would be news. That would put pressure on them. And it would help the Republicans start to generate some counter narrative about what's really the problem here. Why can't we maintain our infrastructure in Rhode Island?
Folks, again, our segment is Politics This Week. With us, Justin Katz, managing editor, anchorrising.com. Justin, staying on the governor for a moment. I sent you, someone said, I saw a Rhode Island All That ad in the wild. And it looks like it's the Green Line, MBTA in Boston, Boylston. And you see the All That, and there's a chef, and there's different food. And then they're still going with the stuffy. And I just find it remarkable that Governor McKee, like, he is just so excited and behind this whole business of All That. And you and I have talked about it, but I think it just goes over. I just think he's like over the top with this whole thing of Team Rhode Island, and it's like he's trying to drown out the noise. And then the person that posted that, when you do look at it, it does seem like an odd podge mishmash of, I might even think that, I don't know what that is. I wouldn't think that that's even a state necessarily, when you just have like all this food mixed in and then it just says all fresh. And what is your thought on it?
Well, my thought, frankly, is it's marketing amateur hour. There's cooler and warmer was a debacle. It was kind of ridiculous. It was a big misfire during Raimondo's time, but at least it had some originality. You know, you could look at the logo, and as abstract and strange as it was, at least it was kind of a boat. You know, you got some sense. They said, okay, Rhode Island, and they gave that some actual thought. This is like the people at the table at Commerce, or, you know, whoever was working on this, had nothing. They had no ideas, and so they just sort of reached into the grab bag of, oh, about all that. You know, that's a popular phrase. Well, that applies to everywhere. It has nothing to do with Rhode Island. And so I think that's what it is. All stuffies, all fresh. What does this even mean? You could just come up with anything in order to try to make it seem like it fits. And I think that's what I find most conspicuous about it. And this idea that, The idea that's a generic kind of a campaign is reinforced by the imagery. I noticed McKee was on with Gene Valicenti, and they were showing some clips from the videos in the background while they spoke. And one of them, you know, it shows the gender identity flag, and it says all lifestyles or something like that. Well, I noticed I haven't watched them all very carefully, but of the several of these ads I've seen, I haven't seen a single shot of a classic New England church or the cathedral in Providence. No. So it's not all lifestyles. It's just your generic, what young progressives in the government marketing agency think will be popular because it's what they like. I mean, that's really what it is. And it's a very narrow band of the population to appeal to. And so that's the impression I get. I mean, you probably could have gotten a better result, in my view, if you'd gone to, say, the local colleges and had their MBA classes all compete for some kind of make it a independent study course or something, and they could all compete with a message. I think you would have gotten something very similar. And but I agree that with this, I mean, as a messaging thing from McKee, you've got this, you've got the Team Rhode Island. I don't know what other stuff he's got. He's got the ads about absenteeism. I mean, we're awash in ads. Really slickly done advertisements from government agencies recently, and it is like they're just trying to flood the zone with anything. Just don't pay attention to how badly we're actually doing. And I think that's the all that they're trying to distract you from, all that stuff that's not going well. And I think it's becoming increasingly clear.
Folks, quick break. Much more ahead. Politics this week. Justin Katz, managing editor, anchorrising.com, right here on the John DePietro Show.
All your oil needs, make it Henry Oil. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Reliable, affordable fuel oil delivery. Call Henry Oil today. Fuel oil, diesel, gasoline delivery. It's Henry Oil, residential, commercial fuel oil delivery since 1947. They also have budget plans, service contracts, lock and cap pricing. You can depend on Henry Oil. Call them today, 401-521-0200. Serving most of Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. We got a long way to go with winter. Make sure that tank is filled. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Henry Oil, a local family-run business since 1947 that you can depend on. For all your oil needs, call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200.
Our segment is Politics This Week. With us is Justin Katz, managing editor, anchorrising.com. Justin, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on, and it was the Boston Globe that published it, how much is the McKee administration charging for public records of high public interest? Key matters, Washington Bridge, Tidewater Landing. You know, I didn't even realize just how much actually till I saw that. Occasionally you'd hear someone saying they want a public records. But it, with all the people that are employed by the state or the cities and towns, I actually find this story illustrates it is It's absolutely ridiculous how much they're charging for people to get these records, I think.
Sure, sure. I mean, for years, it felt like if they asked for a few hundred dollars, and I used to ask for a lot of records, if they asked for a few hundred dollars, that seemed like a lot. And now you're talking thousands of dollars, and there's no need for it. The technology's gotten better. More records are available to be searched digitally. This shouldn't be that difficult. Part of the problem is they go through and they heavily redact everything, whereas they used to just kind of, I think, give it a relatively quick skim. You know, the lawyer in the department would give it a quick skim to make sure they weren't giving anything accidentally away that they shouldn't have by HIPAA laws or whatever, privacy concerns. But now they're redacting everything they possibly can, and so it is probably more expensive for them to do. But that's on them. You know, two overarching thoughts on this. First, this is a choice of McKee's administration. These right. hot button issues that he knows are going to be controversial, they should have a package. I mean, they ought to be able to anticipate people are going to want to see these emails. Let's independently just get them together and put them out there online or a transparency site, or at least have them ready when the journalists come knocking. But they don't, because they're trying to hide it. So that's what they're doing. They're trying to hide it. They're not going to give it to you. They're going to pay several lawyers to go through it with a fine-tooth comb and cross out everything they possibly can so you can see as little information as possible. And then they're going to charge you an arm and a leg and hope that you'll just say, oh, that's too much. I'm not going to pay that. And that's what they're genuinely hoping for. And in an area where news media is having trouble making ends meet, that they don't have thousands of dollars to spend on these sorts of things. The second thought is, I wonder, and it could be a bit of speculation, but I wonder how much of an effect or the Nicole Solis's experience in South Kingstown has had on this, because right. she was getting bills for thousands of dollars if you want to see these emails, and she kind of the school kind of got away with it. I mean, it got some national attention, and she's been to Congress, she's been on national news, but locally they just kind of ignored her. And I wonder if, you know, they should have seen this coming, these journalists, when they ignored Nicole Solis and the exorbitant fees she was being charged, that was starting to set a precedent. And now they're having to pay the fees. And of course, they're going to whine and complain about it because they think their privileged class ought to be able to get public records for free. But that to me is a connection that is worth thinking about. At least if you don't support the free flow of information, when you don't like the people asking for the information and you don't like the causes they might support, then it's going to come right back around and hit you. And I think that journalists ought to learn from that, because that's what's happening here. It became plausible to charge people thousands of dollars when really, if you want to protect your access to public information, you've got to do it all the time, even right. when it seems like things are good, even when you don't like the people asking for the information. It's like free speech in the ACLU. You've got to support the free speech rights of Nazis. Sorry, if you don't, then you're not going to have free speech when somebody doesn't like you. That's basically how it works, and I think that's what we're kind of seeing with this.
Yeah, they seem to use it as a deterrent, or they try to use it as a deterrent of someone that then thinks, maybe it's not worth it, you know, to ask for all these records. Justin, speaking of Nazis and free speech, I want to get your reaction to, now, last week we talked about the group that appeared in Cumberland, this group Pine, that, again, the police were asked, and they said, no, there was no one arrested. They acted peacefully. They communicated with us. They were handing out their brochures. But Lieutenant Governor Matos tweeted out, I'm deeply concerned. And by the way, Channel 12 did a story on Matos-McKee reaction. But the wording, I'm deeply concerned by a neo-Nazi hate group organizing in Cumberland to promote white supremacy, especially in the tail of the recent attack on a black church in North Providence. Here's the line. This vile ideology and the violence that inevitably springs from it has no place in Rhode Island. Just quickly, there's no connection to what happened in North Providence. By the way, North Providence, I've interviewed the mother of that suspect. This was a total loner, lone wolf, somebody who'd only been in Rhode Island 3 weeks and went off his meds. There's that. There's no element of hate that I'm aware of this group, but this business of it inevitably springs, violence springs from it, has no place in Rhode Island.
Well, what would the politicians and journalists around here do if they didn't have these nice distractions to pull people away from what the bad experience they're having in Rhode Island? That was my exact thought. I mean, Matos is imputing violence where there was none. And it makes me think growing up, and I've probably said this before in our segment, but growing up, I never could get my head around how populations, say, you know, in pre-Nazi Germany would go over to that kind of thing. Like, how could they fall for it? How could that happen? I think you start to see it here. This is, Matos has picked an outgroup. She's attributing violence to them. She's attributing hate. And, you know, they may hate. It's there, but there is a degree of, you can, I don't agree with it, but you can say, you know what, white people should have a place to live without hating non-white people. I mean, I think it's a wrong way to look at the world, but it's not necessarily hate that's driving it. And I think that's, it really does a disservice to our way of thinking, but it's just pure propaganda. You just throw it out there. Neo-Nazi, you can tell these words have no meaning to her. They're just what you say, you know, to drum up the fear and the anger, or we're going to have violence. And I think that's how it happens. You pick an out group, and I think the media is not much better. I mean, I saw a story from Ethan Shorey, who I think is running the Valley Breeze these days. Yes. And he positioned it as kind of straight news, but then he was unsuccessful in getting them to explain their hatred for non-whites. And that's not really, that's not objective, right? And they've given themselves permission not to be objective. And I think, sort of like the open records request topic, they don't understand, I don't think, how, I mean, that's all posing for their little in-group. But when other people see that, they register that. Even if they don't like this group, they'll say, okay, well, that's a little unfair. I don't know if I can trust Ethan Shorey to be fair as a journalist. I mean, that's why you want journalists to be so out there and overly fair. I'm gonna let the Nazi have the violent Nazi have his say, so people can see what he has to say and they'll know I was fair to him. But that's not allowed now. If you're fair to Donald Trump, say, or somebody who isn't part of the progressive in-group, you are on their side. You are canceled for doing that. And I think that's one of the more dangerous directions we've headed. This was a small group that hung out at the library, maybe handed out some flyers, like probably to people who went up to get them just so they could complain about it. And they stood there, they were peaceful. They had the cops called on them and they left. I mean, that was all that happened. But this is, oh, this hate group, we hate these people. Ah, you know, that is really concerning, and it undermines, I think, the credibility of the people making the statements, whether it's Matos or Ethan Shorey.
Yeah, and Justin, on top of that, Matos is wrong. This business of, and she loves the line, there's no room for, and Governor Key uses it. Actually, there is room. If someone wants to, in our country, if today someone wants to have a protest somewhere in the state and say, I'm pro-Hamas, as long as they're peaceful, they have the right to do that. And, you know, Tim Dodd always points out the Nazis marching in Skokie, Illinois, a heavy Jewish section. There were Holocaust survivors there. That is part of it. So she's fundamentally wrong when she says there's no room for it in our state. That's not accurate. Now, Justin, what do you make of the coverage on the whales? Patricia Morgan seemingly is touched on it a little bit in trying to get some people that feel that it's connected to these offshore wind farms, windmills. But it is unusual that we have these huge dead whales washing up. I'm just curious your thoughts on the coverage of it.
It is, and it's surprising there hasn't been more. I mean, there was a story of the woman who says she's been walking on the beach for 30 years, and she's in all that time she's seen maybe a couple, and now it's like four this season. It was something like that. And that's a big change. And it's another area I don't know why there's not reporting on it, except that it threatens a progressive cause, which is these wind farms. And, you know, maybe it's coincidental. Maybe there happens to be some sort of whale illness out there, and it just happens to coincide with all this building out of wind farms. I don't know, but it seems like the kind of thing you would get a lot of reporting on. If it weren't wind, say they were drilling for oil in the ocean, you know, that would be the story. Oh, they're drilling for oil. Is it killing whales? It would be on every night, every station. That would be, they would be implying, yes, it does. There would be no hesitance about it at all. And it's just seems funny to me. There's a lot of money behind green energy. There's a lot of money nationally pushing for this, internationally even. It's all of a sudden, progressives, and I include journalists around here at least, progressives lose their distrust of moneyed interests. You know, why would they lie? They're doing good stuff with the green energy. they wouldn't deceive anybody, right? Well, okay, like I said, try changing it. Make it an oil company drilling in the ocean. Now, are you suspicious that they're killing whales? I don't know. I think that would probably change the perspective. And I think we've got to be able to have conversations about these things, but we just can't, because once something is in that under that umbrella of protected issues that have been defined as the good people on the progressive left, then suddenly the interest just goes away, and you end up with at the very least questions. And I think they're doing themselves a disservice, because if people aren't seeing, if they're seeing an increase in dead ocean life, and they're not seeing news about it, particularly from environmentalists in the news, they get suspicious. There's something going on here. There's some kind of conspiracy, and rightly so. So I think even if there's no connection, it's something that ought to be heavily investigated and reported on.
Folks, again, our segment Politics This Week, he is Justin Katz, Managing Editor, AnchorRising.com. Justin, excellent job as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you, John. I'll talk to you soon.
AEP Services. They take great pride installing fences of all kinds, vinyl, wood, aluminum, chain link, experience, quality, integrity. Call AEP Services today for a quality fence, home or business. 401-228-7190. 401-228-7190. Residential fence, commercial fence, steel, wood guard, rail, they have it all. Beautiful aluminum product, decorative. Landscape, it adds a lot to it for your stunning property. Call the experts today, AEP Services, 401-228-7190. Residential or commercial, why not enjoy your backyard, a little privacy, or maybe keep a pet or young children inside? Remember, they also have fences. They're resilient, water-resistant. Call today, 401-228-7190. Free quote. AEP Services, the fence experts, 401-228-7190. For all your tree needs, call Yankee Tree today. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln. Call Yankee Tree at 401-439-6028. Whether it's tree removal, stump grinding, tree pruning, emergency service, bucket truck service, even bobcat service, you can depend on Yankee Tree. Remember, 24/7 emergency services available. They are fully insured, licensed arborists, Yankee Tree. With all these storms, don't let some dangerous branches fall onto your home or business. Call Yankee Tree today, 401-439-6028. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln. You can depend on Yankee Tree Service. Call them, 401-439-6028. Free quote, 24/7 emergency service, Yankee Tree Service. There when you need them, 401-439-6028. Check out DePietro.com. DePietro.com. All our links to social media, exclusive stories and videos waiting for you at DePietro.com.